this week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk about how to add. This week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk about how to add ass.
3, 2, 1.
This week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk about how to add mass to that ass.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
He's a battery.
What?
Did you just climax?
Are you shaking too?
3, 2, 1.
Those are the best. Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe, staying here with Chris Moore, Doug Larson, CTP behind the camera, and Charlotte. We are doing the episode you've all been waiting for.
Long time coming.
How to add mass to that ass. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's what's been on everybody's mind since the beginning is, when are these guys going to talk about how to make my ass-tastic? So that's what we're going to be getting into today, seriously. Before we go any further, go to barbellshrug.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Also, there are some pretty cool ebooks over there that you might want to check out. We actually put together some information that a lot of people don't know, that's just out there for free. I talk to people sometimes and they're like, "Hey, I'm like, hey, did you get that ebook?" And they go, "Oh no, you know, I don't know if I want to spend any money right now." I'm like, "It's free. Just go over there and get it. It's not a big deal." All right,
you shout like that at them. It's free. Don't you understand? It's free.
Usually I'm at the peak of frustration, and then I just start screaming.
That's right.
All right, so Doug,
why you're gonna ask me when I'm gonna make the ass ebook?
Yeah, when are we making?
That's coming out soon.
Master that ass ebook.
5 magical moves.
So. Why do, I mean, who doesn't want an ass, right?
That's the first question.
Everyone wants an ass. That's why we're doing the episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a no-brainer. Even if you're, I think this is definitely going to appeal to the women. A lot of people are like, "Hey, why don't you talk about women more?" This is definitely geared towards women from our perspective. But for the guys too, man, I mean, having an ass is a great thing to have. Once mine kind of filled in, I noticed I got a lot more attention.
As a young boy growing up on a farm, once my ass grew in, boy, that made all the difference in the world.
I thought it was all about the abs until, you know, I got a bigger ass, and then everything just came together in my life.
If you have underdeveloped, weak, dysfunctional glutes, can you do anything well in life?
Yeah.
You stand there.
Everybody wants to squat more. I mean, the ass is pretty important in the squat itself.
If you've got a flat ass, you're probably not that good of an athlete.
Yeah.
You probably don't run very fast. You probably don't jump very high. You're probably not that strong overall as a person. You don't see any like world-class strongman competitors or power lifters or sprinters or football players that have flat asses. They all have big asses.
I guess you can be good athletes. You can be a good cyclist or a good long-distance runner, but you know, you don't usually think of those butts as being the first butts you crave. look at that chick.
If we were to rank the butts that we crave, what's the top of the list, Chris?
Oh, jeez. Right, this is already going south.
We knew this was going to go south. We just didn't think it was going to go south so fast.
Can my wife hear the recording from the kitchen? She's in there with the ear against the door.
All right, we don't have to say any names.
I could just like
like a type.
Exhibit A.
I was thinking like soccer players, CrossFitters, weightlifters.
Oh yeah. Well, here's the thing: is like I remember watching some amateur MMA fights, and Doug and I were talking about like you just put money on the guy with the biggest ass. Like they walk in the ring, you're
it's
like
not a bad bet.
It's like that guy is probably more athletic than the next guy. The biggest ass normally wins, especially in an amateur scenario.
That's like the tell in that situation. Who's got the biggest ass?
Yeah, because that's just going to be the most athletic person in the ring.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
I remember Bo Jackson spoke at NSCA one time, and he basically – they asked him why he's so fast, and he basically said, because I got a big ass.
Yeah.
Like one of the best football – probably one of the best athletes to ever roam the earth – basically referred to his entire athletic prowess being because he had a big ass.
Yeah. It's pretty much responsible for initiating all the movement that happens in your lower body. So, I mean, and your lower body is where your feet are at.
Your feet are on the ground, right?
And it makes you move around.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of automatically get a whole lot of glute training in our normal everyday routine, but if you do lots of squats, deadlifts, and whatnot. But, you know, if you... if you have, you know, big legs and a flat butt, you probably need to spend a little bit of extra time focusing on, you know, doing extra single leg work, extra hip dominant hinging, where you're doing RDLs or good mornings or reverse hypers or anything that has a very you know, hip dominant focus to it. Even barbell glute bridges, we did a technique while on that a little while back.
Word. We put Jackie Perez on the cover image, even though she wasn't in the episode.
No one complained about it.
But
hey, you're not stuck with a flat ass forever if you're that person that just wonders, like, will I ever be able to build a booty? You can.
Yeah, and if you're one of those people that you're doing a lot of the workouts and your legs are bigger than your ass and you're trying to there's a good chance you may not be moving properly. So you start building up those butt muscles, and you're probably going to start moving. Your motor pattern's going to clean up. Things are going to get lighter. Your leverages are going to improve. A lot of things are going to happen.
Better, squat better. Yeah. Everything.
And your knees and your back probably hurt less.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Even really good athletes like gymnasts are a great example. Gymnasts are overall pretty quad dominant athletes. Like generally gymnasts have very big quads. They don't have very big glutes for whatever reason. Their sport just doesn't really call for it. So even when a gymnast is coming into like the world of CrossFit and they need to get better at weightlifting, one of the main things they probably need to do is a lot of hip dominant, very glute dominant work to shore up that imbalance.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have a lot of like anterior. They're working all on anterior, so the front of their body is getting a lot of work, mm-hmm. and the posterior of their body isn't getting as much work. So like a good way to think about it is just posterior chain. You hear people talk about, oh, the posterior chain, and your ass is like the point in which that hinges.
There's a few people who couldn't use a little bit more of the work for the muscles you don't see in the mirror. Like most people getting into CrossFit who are new to fitness overall probably could stand a little bit more of a focus on everything they don't see when they look in a mirror.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when I first started getting into weightlifting, that was like something that was commonly noted is, yeah, if you want to be a better athlete, work all the muscles you can't see.
Yeah, you don't see a whole lot of that in most just typical gyms.
You guys don't perk out your ass when you're in front of the mirror?
Am I doing this?
Yeah, I mean, if you think of like the traditional training that a lot of guys, especially guys our age, grew up doing, you know, it was biceps, chest, abs, and like that was the typical beach routine. It was all the stuff that was on the front of you. If you're looking in the mirror, you can see your biceps, you can see your pecs, you can see your abs, and then your back was kind of neglected, your glutes and hamstrings were kind of neglected, and then over time, as you become more experienced and you become a little more educated on what you need to be doing, then you start doing a whole lot more in the way of pull-ups and deadlifting and RDLs and good mornings and Olympic lifts and all the things that build your traps down all the way to your calves.
I did do some vicious hamstring curls, like sessions, man. Brutal. Brutal. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. The key to performance. Working the rack on the hamstring curl.
Oh. When we were at Westside Barbell, Louie saw some girl on the leg curls. Mm. Walked over to her and said, hey, getting a pump?
I can see
that. She goes, yeah. He goes, I can see that.
We're going to show that now in this episode. That's got to come out.
Maybe.
I don't know.
You know, a band of hamstring curls is a good exercise. Maybe we could do a technique water or something on that one time.
And you can't all forget either the, I mean, really the big purpose for having a much more luscious booty is so that you can star in rap videos and just for procreation in general. Like,
or make the twerk team.
Well, isn't it the butt that makes you, like, they've done some science, like if you have a butt, like I'm more likely to want to, you know, with you.
Yeah, it's an attractive feature, for sure.
Do you need science for that, or do you need every man's opinion who has ever lived in the history of the galaxy?
Well, no, but I think they put science to it now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the main indicator
it's not just like
of
butts
evolutionary
are cool.
fitness, you know?
Well, I forget what the ratio was. It was for guys that are attracted to ladies, there was a certain ratio between the waist and the hips that it was like 0.7 or something like that. So your waist is smaller than your hips by a ratio of 0.7. I think I'm making the number up. I think it's probably pretty close to accurate.
That's inside. Yeah, he talks about how
the consuming instinct.
Just wearing high heels boosts the glute appearance by a certain percentage because it matches that ratio better. If you just get up on your toes, you have an automatic.
Hey, we're not going to advocate you to use steroids. We're not going to advocate you to fucking cheat with your ass.
What I'm saying though is you take these tips we're going to give you and you wear high heels.
Are you saying heels is cheating?
Oh, it's cheating.
Yeah, that's not. That ain't getting an ass. That's cheating.
I was like, how do we get on steroids for high heels?
We got to make it clear we are not anti-high heel. We got to wait. No.
Well, I mean, there's a time and place for
time
everything.
Time and place, yes.
And Yeah,
we're pro nice booty, and if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes.
That's what it takes.
Say, if you have great ankle mobility, that's the time to strap on some heels. If you're having some challenges, you probably want to stay away from them. My wife, a couple weeks ago, she destroyed her calves during a workout and then decided to wear heels the next day. Guess what? It took her a whole week to recover.
Yeah. She didn't look that sexy walking those, I guess, too. Like her cringing in pain.
That's
just
right.
Like, look cute.
Looking good.
Looking good, babe.
Yeah, but ladies like guys with nice butts, too. That's why girls watch football. It's a bunch of dudes with tight pants on with nice butts.
That's
all
true.
All football players have big asses.
I don't want to brag, but my wife seems to think I'm doing all right back there. I got a massive bulbous head, but it's balanced by my massive ass, too. I passed the gene down to my youngins, too. My Max and May have nice asses from what I can tell. I don't know.
What?
I'm saying, they're built for athleticism. I'm not like checking out my kids' ass. I'm saying they're built. They're good stock. They're good stock. You know what I'm saying?
Should we start the show over?
Everybody knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
All right. Where are we at?
Weirdos.
You mentioned the rap videos.
So what makes a good ass? Tell us, Mike.
Oh, man. What makes a good ass?
Yeah, what's a good ass look like?
That's very subjective, I feel
it's
like.
Superficial qualities.
Lots of muscle.
Not
too much other
nice,
stuff.
Nice and firm. Not too much other stuff. Nice and firm. I think a lot of people in trying to be so lean that they never put on enough muscle mass in that area. So I think for me, I'd rather see, like, if you have abs and no butt, I mean, let's sacrifice the abs a little bit. Get a little ass.
Yeah. A little weight gain cycle.
Yeah. A little weight gain cycle.
Put
would
on
be
some
good.
Mass.
Yeah.
You got
everywhere.
Some
mass.
Priorities.
Especially the butt.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure what you're asking. I'm like, man, where am I going with this? This is a touchy, like I could go in the wrong direction real fast. You know what I mean? It's like, well, there's this time last week.
Okay. We'll switch it up. What is your personal favorite ass exercise?
Oh, I thought you were going to say weight class. 58 kilos.
75 plus.
What are we saying now? What was the question?
Well, what's the best exercise for growing a big butt? A nice butt.
Best exercise. Oh, man. I would say, I think sumo deadlifts are like really good.
We were talking about favorite? This. This is very underutilized exercise.
It is underutilized.
My personal favorite, probably sumo deadlifts.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, what about you?
Man, sumo, well, that's obviously the best one. You can do also...
Obviously. Don't be silly.
No, I mean, you can do... I think it's better to do them for a little bit lighter rep, but wide stance squats with emphasis is pushing your butt back a little further.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're also very good. Again, you got to be careful with using too much weight. Some people will see like a West Side style power out there doing wide stance stuff, and they may load too quickly, and that can be a little tough on your hip joint. Mm-hmm. You can just do wider than you normally would go in a squat with light loads, like 10, 15 reps just to feel how it will light up your hips, and you can progress from there. But that'd be a good exercise.
Mm-hmm.
What about yours, Doug?
Two of them. One of them.
Oh, come on. He gave me one option, and then he takes two.
I might do three.
Oh.
Roof elevated split squats. That's probably the movement that's guaranteed to make me sore. It's hard to get your glutes sore. And roof elevated split squats they seem to every time make my glutes sore. And whether that's like the key to growing, bigger glutes and actually like getting hypertrophy in the muscle itself, it's up for debate. Like we talked with Andy before, you don't need soreness to get bigger, but it's a good indication that you're
working that muscle.
You've done enough to like make that muscle pay attention, and so that's key.
The other thing with that movement is you're not going to screw it up and not activate your glutes. Like there's a lot of movements people like they get out of position. Even on a sumo deadlift, they can be in a wrong position and now they've compensated and moved the load somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
With the rear foot elevated split squat, I don't think there's really... I mean, if you do it right, you're going to hammer that ass.
That's also...
Hammer that ass.
If you do it right, that exercise is also really good exercise as a warm-up before you do regular back squats. I did a lot as a way to kind of activate my glutes.
Yeah.
And your balance gets sort of dialed in, and then you just feel really rock solid and ready to squat.
That's a good idea. I've never done that before I squatted.
I also kind of will hop on that foot, too. Squat and get comfortable. Then as I get warm, I'll kind of hop on a one leg.
I like to do single-leg plyos before I squat to make sure that everything's firing.
Yeah. And then you go into a squat. Like if you don't do that now, ladies and gentlemen, that'd be a great way to automatically do a little better in a back squat.
Yeah, I mean, if you took a brand new person, you brought them into the gym, this is a very conservative thing to do with someone who's brand new, but they're going to get sore glutes and they're going to feel great the next day and they're going to be like, wow, that really worked. you don't even necessarily have to do rear foot elevated split squats, even though that's like I said, is one of my favorite movements. You could just have a new person do a bunch of lunges, and guaranteed,
oh, wow,
they're probably not going to hurt themselves in the moment, assuming that they're strong enough to do some lunges.
Yeah.
And then number two, they're going to come back in a day or two, and they're going to be like, man, my butt was so sore. That shit really worked. And psychologically, no. I mean,
I'm
physiologically, you did something great for them, yeah, you know, as long as you didn't totally destroy them. But psychologically, they're going to be like, wow, like I felt that what I did worked.
Yeah.
Whatever that means to them, like they felt some soreness, so they knew that the exercises that they did was going to have an effect somewhere where they actually wanted it. Because if you get a sore, you know, muscle from doing something like lunges, like you just feel good about what you did.
And I think a lot of people have a hard time getting their butt sore too. They'll go on a hike and their quads get sore, but if they go in the gym, it's such a novel thing, mm-hmm, to blow up that, yeah, you've got their attention.
You gotta believe your butt's getting better for it to get better too.
You gotta believe your glutes are gonna grow.
I believe it's happening. I can feel it happening. I can feel it getting higher and tighter.
Yeah. The other thing that no one ever talks about, and I rarely talk about, maybe when I first went from, because I had a very Olympic weightlifting style training growing up, and so I did a lot of vertical torso type movements. I was very quad dominant. I had really good mobility from doing gymnastics, and so I could stay very vertical on front and back squats. And I really hadn't broken into the powerlifting world that much. I really hadn't focused that much on doing good mornings, and I did a lot of RDLs growing up, but I really hadn't done heavy good mornings. I really hadn't done that much single leg work. I hadn't done reverse hypers. I hadn't done glute bridges. Like, I hadn't focused that much on posterior chain stuff specifically. We squatted a lot and whatnot, but I'd never really like seen the other side of it. So this is when I was pretty new, and when I, for the very first time, started doing low bar back squats, kind of like Chris said, wide stance, low bar back squats, that was a big help. And then the other thing was I would take my max on high bar back squats, and I would do heavy quarter squats for max reps. So I was the opposite of a lot of people. I never did quarter squats growing up. Like, I had a good coach from the beginning. I always did full depth squats.
Yeah.
And so I'd never actually done quarter squats. And so taking 100% of your max and doing sets of 12 or 15, where all you're doing is kind of pushing your butt back. You're keeping that vertical shin.
Yeah.
And it's like your ass is like uncramping and then cramping on the way up. And all you're doing is terminal hip extension, where you can just feel your glutes
uncontracting
and then contracting again.
I want to do it
now. You'll get an awesome glute pump, and you'll be able to actually like feel what it's like to work your glutes. So if you've never done that, it's pretty conservative. You can just take the pins, you know, these pins, and put them like right here, where you can just unrack the weight, where you only have, you know, a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet at the absolute most,
right,
where you're doing a very short range of motion, keeping that vertical shin the whole time. And just doing that terminal hip extension, it'll feel fantastic, and you'll really be able to feel your glutes work.
It'll build a lot of confidence.
I gotta do that now before I go to the beach. Like beach
your
time,
your squat will go up.
Get the butt.
It will
get some blood flowing in the butt. Go to the beach. Put on the booty shorts.
Yeah, and then every time you go to hit a heavy weight, even if it's 90%, it doesn't feel that heavy because you always have 100%. Your max is 400 pounds.
Yeah,
and you do sets of 12 for quarter squats. You're just used to having that heavy weight on your back, and then if you go to do 360, which is 90% of 400. Then it doesn't feel that heavy because you're used to having that big heavy bar on your back. So psychologically, it has an effect as well.
So now you're sexier and you're stronger. Win-win.
Win-win.
And they
say solving the world's problems, man. Solving the world's problems.
Yeah, and quite literally, when I did that, you know, I had a couple of interesting changes that I made to my training back then, but these were two of the big ones, was doing those low bar back squats and doing those heavy quarter squats, and I PR'd everything. I maxed every 4 weeks, and for 12 weeks in a row, every 4 weeks, this was off-season for football back when I was like a freshman.
Did you PR on picking up chicks?
No.
What about dude?
In all fairness, I didn't quantify it. I mean, I could have had a record semester, but I didn't measure. I didn't write up all
the time. I was so peaked at the time. It was hard to beat my record.
The thing is like he immediately said no. There's no hesitation. No. He's like, no, I was too busy doing squats.
I was too busy training. But yeah, I mean, but I quite literally PR'd pretty much everything. Like I PR'd my clean and jerk, my snatch, my front squat, my back squat, my low bar back squat, my deadlift. Like I PR'd everything in part because – you know, I got stronger everywhere, but in part because I really felt like for the first time I was able to, you know, really use my hips, really use my glutes.
Probably jumping higher and running faster and everything.
So how do you know if your butt's working or not?
You can feel it working.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of it. If you can actually feel your glutes contracting on the way up on a heavy set, then you know they're working because you can feel them contracting.
Oh,
I see what he's getting at here.
There's time for a demonstration on this segment.
You
want to
lay down there first, Chris?
You want me to try squeeze on anything?
We're going to do the, what do we call it? The barbell
butt test.
Butt test.
Hashtag barbell butt test.
So, I'm about to demonstrate the barbell butt test. And after we demo this, we're going to take a break.
Demo? Let's see how they would do it at home.
And what we want you to do at home, ladies and gentlemen.
If you're on iTunes, you got to come over to the video version.
And what we want to do, we want you to also do the barbell butt test. And hashtag barbell butt test. And we'll check them out. Maybe we'll do a prize. Well, we're going to do some booty shorts, right?
We're thinking about doing Instagram, hashtag barbell butt test.
I don't want to promise that, we're not going to do it.
I want to promise it so that it forces us to do it.
That's probably not a
good luck with that. Yeah, right.
All right, well, no promise.
You might get
I'll get a Sharpie. I'll get a Sharpie and write barbell struggle on some booty shorts.
Along with your phone number.
All right, come on, Mike. Show them what the test is.
There we go.
Talk them through it, Doug.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Mike's going to lay on his stomach with one plate on the bar. And then, actually, Chris, you want to help out with this?
I will. So I'm going to mosey on over. Look at that ass.
Chris is going to give the bar a little push, and we're going to see if it makes it over the hump that is Mike's ass. Stopped it.
This is a passing score.
It's a pass, but it's like a C.
So this could be better, right?
Hold on, let's get it again.
No, that's a good question, Doug. Can you flex during this or no?
I'm gonna go with no.
So standard is you get no flex. But
you get flex.
If you want to repeat with a flex, you can see how you fare. Yep.
You're eating much better. You're eating those shorts.
That's really what you want. That's what you want to see.
You want the bounce off.
Hold on. One more time without.
We'll go with flexed.
Boom.
There you go.
It's got to bounce. If it bounces back, honey, you got it going
on. I like flex better because it can't just push your ass out of the way.
That's right.
How big is it? Like, was it hard or what?
So what do you think,
ladies and gentlemen?
Would you or wouldn't you? What is his score?
You passed the test.
What is his score, his glute score? 6.7. That's all right for a dude.
Well, for everybody who doesn't pass the test, go try it during the break. We're going to have a technique wad on something, right?
We're going to do technique wad on glute training and glute activation.
I'll write a six-week program. If you fail, we'll give you the six-week program to a bigger ass.
So if you fail, go try the test during the break while watching technique wad. We'll come back and tell you how you can pass the test.
That sounds good.
This is Tim Ferriss, and you are listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Barbell Shrugged is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrugged.com and sign up for the newsletter.
All right, here we go in 3, 2, booty, 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 rocking.
And we're back to talk about how to add an ass to that ass. I feel like this is gonna be a spin-off podcast. Like that's gonna be the new show.
Weekly
the
segment.
Ass Master Podcast.
That's right.
This week in booty news.
Chris, if you were to plan a training cycle for somebody and their goal was to grow the butt but nothing else.
But nothing else?
But what would that look like? Say they're like my legs are just, they're plenty big enough.
You're a quadzilla type person and you lack glutes.
It's like, my butt's kind of like.
There's plenty of ladies that don't want bigger legs. They just want a bigger butt.
Again, I mean, the first thing, just given my background, the first thing I'm going to drift towards is doing things with a little bit wider stance that don't require so much emphasis on the quads. Mm-hmm. So that could be like a really good one is like, we said sumo deadlifts earlier, like things like stiff leg sumo deadlifts even. Mm-hmm. Wide stance squats, good mornings, wide stance box squats, anything with a little bit wider stance where I'm shifting the load down to the hips is what I would probably skew my programming towards.
Yeah, to that point.
For the main strength lift.
What you're talking about is like if you have a vertical shin, then the load, and so you're not bending the knees forward, a lot of the load is just going to go to the hips.
Just to get down then, if you're not going to bend the knee a lot, which you wouldn't do in these lifts, then just to get the load down and to get your thigh to parallel, you got to bend a lot at the hip then. So you're going to shift the burden back. So anytime you lack hip extension strength, just doing that for a little while will help. Even if that's just as your assistance movement, you do some wider stance hip dominant things. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'd probably follow that up with what Doug was talking about, a lot of single leg work where I was getting deeper than usual on one leg. That would probably be a nice 1-2 punch for glutes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, good mornings, RDLs.
1-2 glute punch.
Good mornings and RDLs are fantastic. You're going to get hamstrings, glutes, and virtually no quad. if you do a wider stance squat, like a wide stance box squat or wide stance powerlifting squat with a vertical shin, you know, you're definitely going to still be bending at the knee. So you'll still be using your quad, which you probably won't get a lot of quad growth out of that necessarily. It's not going to be a direct quad focused movement, but that's actually a good thing. You still want to actually, you know, bend your knee and straighten your knee during training. Yeah. That way you don't lose any strength, right, and you're not losing muscle mass in your quad. So, you know, you might do that at least once a week where you're doing a big movement like that. That way you keep that strength and you keep some amount of balance there, but then maybe 2 days a week or 3 days a week, you're doing the more hip dominant type stuff, like your RDLs, your reverse hyper, barbell glute bridges, good mornings, all the things that really aren't going to be very quad focused at all.
Deficit deadlifts with a kettlebell, I like. You put your feet up on a box. And a kettlebell is a little bit safer sometimes. You're not focused on the load. You're just doing more reps with it. So if you take like a 100-pound kettlebell, if you're a pretty strong guy, if you're a girl or whatever, and you slide yourself to kind of dip a little bit deeper than you normally would, let the kettlebell pull you down, it puts a lot of intense stress on your glutes. You do that for like 20 reps with a 100-pound kettlebell, with the kettlebell singing between your feet all the way, you're going to feel that in your ass.
I think just from like a overall programming perspective, you may not even have to change general programming up a lot. So if you're in a gym and you're just doing the workouts, I think a great way to put more emphasis on the ass muscles is – or what some people may call glutes, is to like
scientists
is to do a lot of those, do some accessory work or accessory work ahead of time.
Accessory
is before you work out, like kind of pre-fatigue your glutes a bit, make sure they're all getting activated, your glute med, glute max. I'm like, I'm looking at the board like,
where's the science again? What's it
called? You know, all of them.
Mead, Max, Men.
You know, if you go to Westside Barbell, that's what they do. Always.
But pre-fatigue
training.
It a little bit. I mean, you see people do it with the slingshot.
Yep.
Mark Bell has them doing it. A lot of people do that. They pull out the slingshot, put it on
the knees.
I have
like five of those things over there.
They're doing things to get their glute med fired up. They're doing things to kind of activate. So like before you do like... Maybe you don't want to shift all your programming around just that, but you want to kind of, you know, do an ass blast. What you do is people are just going to roll on this whole show. So pre-fatigue the glutes, do your workout, and then afterwards hit them again with some more accessory work.
Basically, if your program is a few things that help address the weakness, if you give this a month, you'll start seeing pretty good improvement. Mm-hmm. Just that being aware that you lack it and adding a little bit here and there will be a lot at first to address these weaknesses.
If you are one of those hip dominant people, you may do some like glute activation prior to, say, a squat session. You may find that you're stronger immediately. Because more muscles are getting involved that might have not been getting activated otherwise.
You know, a good activation exercise I like is if you tie a band around the bottom of a power rack or anything stationary, and you face away, and you put a band between your legs, so you're standing over it. You do a good morning exercise, so you put it over your head, and you don't have it so tight to where it's uncomfortable, but you step away.
Chris's favorite exercise involves wrapping bands around his neck and head.
So far, I haven't, what did the NXS lead say about? Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
You need to kill yourself jerking off with a band around your neck. Don't do that. That's bad form. What I'm saying is, if you do a band, before you do a deadlift, try this.
I have a feeling like we're going to be able to look at the YouTube stats and just people are going to start watching still plummet the whole time.
Checking out. No, this will make you deadlift or squat more now. So if you do like a couple sets, like 5 to 10 reps of a banded, put the band over your head, step away, just so you can feel it in your hips, do a couple sets of banded good mornings, really overemphasize the contraction of your glutes at the top. If you then go into warm up for your deadlift or your clean or your squat, if you have a dysfunction problem, that'll be a good way of really noticeably right then you'll see yourself perform better.
I'm a big fan of chains and bands for RDLs and good mornings. It's so much easier. Like down here, it's so much harder than compared to the top. Having more weight at the top just seems to match that glaring strength curve. The strength curve is enormous on RDLs and good mornings, because when you're bent over, your leverage is so much poorer than when you're just barely bent over and it feels like nothing.
Yeah.
So having chains and bands really helps match that strength curve.
It reinvents the exercise. I like doing it on reverse hypers too, add a little band, because instead of momentum getting the best of it, at the top I have to really contract my ass and my lower back.
Right. Yeah. In that case, it's the exact opposite. When you're bent on a reverse hyper, that means like your weight the weight is right below you and there's almost your weightless, basically. There's no tension. We're on an RDL or good morning. This is the hardest part. On a reverse hyper, that's the easiest part. So it's the exact opposite in that case. So in that case, I actually don't think you need chains and bands quite as much because you don't need to take the hardest part of the movement and make it even heavier. Like, just add more weight because it's already the hardest part of the movement. The strength curve is the opposite in that case. So for a reverse hyper, you could just make it a little heavier. For RDLs and good mornings, I really think chains and bands really are the key because, especially in this conversation, if we're talking about glutes, since your glutes really are kind of the terminal hip extensors, that's really when you're going to get the best leverage to use your glutes, which is why we talked about a minute ago the quarter squats. So I was just saying, just kind of get to here, my hips a little bit bent, and it's just that terminal hip extension where your glutes are really firing hard and completing the movement. In the case of an RDL and a good morning, when you're all the way bent over, it's way more a hamstring thing than it is a glute thing. And when you get up here and it's really light, your glutes, they don't have a problem finishing the lift. And so you're really not getting
that heavy at the top. Yeah.
Right. If you don't change your bands, they're not, your glutes in that case are not really under max tension at all. It's pretty easy. So your glutes are being undertrained in that case while your hamstrings in your low back are getting, you know, the highest tension or the highest load they can handle.
That also allows you to save some unnecessary loading where you're not really weak, you don't have to load at the bottom. So like you could do a heavy squat, and instead of doing just heavy good mornings too, you can take part of that and emphasize it with chains and bands and then unload the part where you don't need the extra work. So it's, you don't beat yourself down unnecessarily. So that's another benefit of using chains and bands. You can load just what you kind of want. If just you need to, you just need top end load, then just go for that. Because you already got your full loading with like a back squat.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I've played around with a little bit lately is the Compex unit. You guys have seen that. It's a little computer and then E-stem unit, really.
Oh, there's a lot of E-stem.
So it's got like a, you know, it's got the electrodes that come off. You smack them on your ass.
You smack
them on your ass. And
get yourself a cocktail and play some romantic music. And
that's right. Well, the Compex unit is kind of cool because there's a lot of different options on there. And one is like actual like resistance training session. But what I've played around with is going and training instead of spending a lot of time doing accessory movements for my lower body.
How about you wearing it like while you're jogging on the beach?
I do it after I lift, I go home, put them on the muscles that I want to activate. So I know that I have a little bit of dysfunction on my right side for external rotation. So what I do is I can actually target the very specific muscle. And you can do that with training a lot, but especially for maybe newer people, it won't fire for whatever reason. Or for me, I've been training for a long time. I do a lot of accessory movements, but for some reason there's still dysfunction. That's one way to do it. Another thing too is for people who have a long training history and a lot of training volume under their belt, who may be prone to injury, by doing more training volume, it's a good way to like get those muscles firing without exactly having to put your tendons and stuff under a lot more stress. I know John Wellborn's working on a lot of that stuff too, and I've been meaning to try to catch up with him about that. And I've talked to the Compex guys about that a little bit. But I find that to be pretty useful. Funny story is, right after I got that unit, I'm wearing nothing like, but I went and trained. I'm wearing nothing but black tights. So I'm standing in my living room, and I've got a lot of windows in my house. I got my tights around my knees, and I got my wife putting E-stem units on my ass cheeks.
There you go.
I'm just like naked, just standing there. And then my neighbor, who never comes over, decided, well, I've only been there 2 days at this point. But like since then, no one's ever come over.
He never comes over. I've only lived there for 2 days.
But since then, nobody's come over. I've been there for a couple months. And like it's like no one ever comes over. But that day, he decides to come over in that moment to accuse me of knocking his fence over.
Oh, that
and,
guy.
Yeah. But this guy comes over, and he's like knocking on the window, looking through the window. And there I am with my pants around my ankles and my
brand
wife.
Brand new neighbor.
And there's like my wife's putting electrodes on my ass. And I got this computer, and I'm like, I pull my pants up and I'm like, I just turn it on, start the workout, and then he pulls me outside to accuse me of things that I did not do, allegedly. but it's kind of a funny scenario. I'm like the new guy in the neighborhood, a tattooed beard, wearing nothing but black tights, and I got like this computer coming out of my ass, and it's just jiggling.
For you, it's completely normal.
Normal day in my
normal
life.
Normal day of the week, pretty average Tuesday.
All right, when we come back from a break, do you want to talk about programming, sets, reps, and all that? I'm going with yes.
Yes. All right.
All right. Thanks, yeah. CTP. I like when people agree with me.
I felt like we already had a break.
We did.
We already had a break. All right, we're back from break number two.
We're back, which
I thought was break number one. That's what happens when we record too many episodes in one day.
Doug pushes for a break. I was like, what is he doing?
I was like, why does he look so confused?
I got a poo-poo.
Doug is the king of public shits.
That's right. Oh,
God. So where did Doug go? Oh, we happen to be walking by a 7-Eleven. There he goes.
I'm going to wreck that place. I'll be right back.
All right, we're going to talk about programming for that ass.
So. That's going to be the name of the ebook.
Goodness gracious.
People either love us or hate us right now.
Hey, you know what? We got like 178 other shows. Go watch one of those.
Tell you who loves us right now is Alex Macklin.
Oh, my God. That dude's like, dude eats his shorts every time he trains.
Yeah, we should have had him on for the booty test.
We should have.
Yeah, he'd do really well.
It would clear his calves.
All right, Doug. So if from a big picture programming perspective, what should people do? Sets and reps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I found with me and a lot of other people that I've trained is that glutes tend to respond size-wise, hypertrophy-wise, they tend to respond very well to volume. So you don't have to only do heavy training for your glutes. A lot of times...
Turn it up to 11.
Really pound those glutes. That just
popped in my head. It had to come out. Sorry.
Yeah. Like you definitely should do your heavy squats and deadlifts and whatnot. You know, so if you built up to a heavy double or did five sets of five or something like that, that's still great, and you should definitely do that stuff. But doing something like rear foot elevated split squats for five sets of 12 to 15, where you're getting into like the teens with your rep ranges, heavy to failure is a great way to kind of spur some growth, especially in your glutes. Glute ham raises and that's more of a hamstring thing, but reverse hypers, rather, same thing. Like, you're not going to do super low reps on something like a reverse hyper. You're probably going to do something between like 10 and 20, maybe even more. You need volume to get a good growth response out of your glutes. Glute bridges, same deal. Like, in the teens is probably where you're going to get your best response.
So I've been doing wrong, man. I've been doing too many small sets.
Especially if you're new and or you're a person that just doesn't have very good glute activation overall. Like, if you're a person that just can't ever feel your glutes working, getting more reps and actually training the muscle, more bodybuilding style, where you can actually feel the muscle contracting, you're getting that quote-unquote mind-muscle connection where you can feel each contraction, you can feel the glutes working, where you're like, you're getting a pump. That's going to go a long way towards building that muscle group specifically.
Yeah. Chris, booty food. What is it?
Those are shorts.
Funny you asked that, because I didn't actually know what that was supposed to mean. Booty food.
So, like,
bacon? I don't know.
What kind of food should we be eating to grow that booty?
I think you should eat the same exact thing you would grow any other muscle with. Does that make sense?
Sounds reasonable. Well, the fact of the matter is if you don't have an ass and you're trying to grow an ass, then you're trying to make a muscle bigger. You are trying to gain weight right now.
You need to follow all the other hypertrophy rules that work good for other athletes.
That's right. And so now you're more or less on a weight gain plan. That doesn't mean you have to gain 30 pounds of body weight necessarily. No. But if you want to have
a
bigger butt.
But that'd be sweet if you did.
Unless you lack 30 pounds worth of ass, which could be.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you might need to put 3 to 5 pounds just on your glutes. And to do that, you're probably going to have to put how many other pounds on the rest of your body, because it's going to be harder to grow just one muscle group.
Yeah.
Like, your whole body's going to grow collectively. And so if you want to double the size of your glutes, then you might have to add an extra 10 or 15 pounds to the rest of your body. So you might actually need to add a total amount of body weight of 15, maybe 20 pounds, and then you can go lean back down, and then you can actually see the glutes that you built.
You need protein. You need carbs.
That's right.
You gotta
very
have
good.
What's the other macronutrient?
Oh, so I always forget about
alcohol. Yep. Alcohol for making bad decisions later on.
Yeah, we just did a post workout episode
178.
178 was on post workout nutrition, and in many ways that post workout talk was referencing people that wanted to aggressively gain muscle mass. So if you haven't listened to 178, that's a good episode to go listen
to. Combine these two shows, and you too can have a great ass.
I would say the great thing about these exercises, you can do these pretty frequently all the time. If you really need to work on your butt, you can do this every day potentially. You could do some kind of one-legged squat every day. You could do light good mornings pretty frequently because the reps are a little higher and you're going for the pump. Mm-hmm. Achieving a righteous pump in the rear quarters. So you could probably work on this a little bit every day and not be too heavy of a recovery demand.
So, Chris, or CTP, actually, is there any such thing as an ass that's too big?
I've seen them. I hate to be the first to say that there is such a thing.
But it's a lot more rare than what people think, I believe.
For sure. Yeah. You should, the other things.
I've never seen him have such a hard time talking. He's all hot and bothered. Thinking, are you getting visuals right now?
Yeah, I was.
Well, maybe the wrong kind. You're talking about the biggest booty you've ever seen.
I rarely see a nice ass that's too big. Like, if you're super lean, I rarely see women that are like 12% body fat that have an ass that's too big.
Yeah, that's
not a
problem.
That doesn't happen very often. Usually, if someone's saying their ass is too big, it means that the muscle is not too big. It's the rest of the ass.
Something else is too big. So the whole body's too big.
So to address that question,
that's true.
If you're eating well and training hard, this is not a concern that your ass will somehow just bubble. You know, in some exceedingly fast rate out of control if you're just squatting heavy. That's not going to happen. You don't have to fear gaining too much ass meat.
Like, if you're a person that you don't want your ass to be seen from the front, that means that it's not your glutes that you're worried about. Because your glutes, you can't see from the front no matter what. Even if your glutes are enormous, from the front, you're not going to be able to see your glutes.
Most Def would not agree with this, though, because he swore he saw a chick whose booty was so big you could see it from the front.
Last thing we need to
tag us on Twitter with that guy.
Last thing we need to talk about is pancake ass, and I think we
gotta make sure to get this
terrible
point.
Disease.
We actually addressed this with Jill Miller when she was on, but she was talking about how when people see it, I can't
see it.
I was about to say seat, and then I was like, shit, don't say that. That's the wrong word. See it. but when people sit too much, the ass muscles get pushed out and down and
they're
not where they're supposed to be. So if you're spending most of your time sitting and not squatting, then that's a recipe for ass disaster.
Could that be like mostly a lifestyle factor?
I was trying too hard now.
But Michael,
that was Jill Miller rubbing off on me with all the puns.
Is it possible that pancake is just pancake ass is genetic? Disease. That's just nothing. No matter what I do, I've tried it all. I can't seem to grow this pancake ass.
There's definitely some shape. Some people are shaped differently than others. No doubt about that. And you're only gonna be able to take it as far as your genetics are gonna let you. But if you do spend a lot of time sitting, I think over time you do notice that people sit a lot. Their ass is extremely flat. So I mean, those muscles can be pushed off the bones, but I think you can reverse that.
Some people are just born with flatter asses than others, like whether they sit or not. And like a lot of those people, they don't feel like they have any power to grow a nice butt. And that's really unfortunate. They feel like that because it's not really necessarily true. They'll have to work a little harder than some other people. But even if you listen to like Brett Contreras, who's kind of known as like and his nickname is the glute guy. Like, he specializes in glute training, especially for women. Like, in a lot of cases, he says that ladies should be able to do glute training like 4 or 5 days per week hard, especially if they're doing, things like lots of glute bridges and more hip dominant movements.
Yeah.
Like, they can tolerate that volume, 4 or 5 days per week and be just fine where they're not overtraining and it's not beating their joints up.
Yeah.
So if you're a woman and you're not doing, like a real glute session or hip dominant session at least 3 days per week, then your frequency probably isn't high enough. Like, ladies can do 3, 4, 5 days per week.
Doesn't mean you have to do that, but if you're complaining that you can't do it and you're not doing this, you're missing out.
Mm-hmm. Why did we start this stupid ass podcast when we could have just been the glute guy? That dude, he figured it out.
Yeah, we wrong demographic.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this
show
up.
Oh, should we go to Instagram for some questions?
We had some questions.
Oh, yeah, the Instagram questions. Forgot.
Let's see
you
here.
You asked for G-rated questions. I don't know if you
got it was PG-13.
I don't know if you got
all
PG-13.
I don't know if I can get that in focus. Y'all see Mike's beautiful butt there?
All right,
some of the questions.
We know how to get attention around here.
What a striking physique.
how do you activate your glute? Well, we're going to answer that in Technique Wad. So.
We kind of already did here. We listed about a dozen exercises that you could do.
We did that on the first break.
The first fifth break. Shit. Fit ain't everywhere.
Yeah, I feel like we answered. We're just so damn good. We answered all these during the show.
Yeah,
there's not at least one on there that could be tackled.
That happens.
It's mostly comments on Mike's sweet Lululemon booty shorts.
People be loving
and,
that,
and no actual questions.
Yeah, we answered most of these because we're just
high five
on point.
Everybody. All
yeah,
right.
guys, high five.
High five.
Boom. Sometimes this happens when we thoroughly address a topic. You know,
the one topic we finally thoroughly addressed. All right.
Make sure to go to barbellshrug.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out some of the ebooks we have out there. One of which is about how to add more muscle mass. So if you enjoyed this episode, you might also enjoy that ebook. Check it out.
It's at muscle.barbellshrug.com.
Boom.
Go get it.